Thank you, Asheville Youth Choirs. That was wonderful. We are blessed by your presence here today. I would like to invite you to turn to today's focus passage, which is Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. We will be focusing on the 10th commandment today, but as we have done every week, we will read the entirety of the commandments together as one whole, and that is especially important today as we reach the end of our series. Once again, you're welcome to follow along in your own Bible or device. You can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from Exodus chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Well, research shows that money does not buy happiness. I don't have the statistics with me. You'll just have to trust the science. Money does not buy happiness. In fact, it has quite an adverse effect. Those who place their value or place a high value on wealth, status, or stuff, scientific term, stuff, are more depressed, anxious, and less social. Northwestern University decided to take it a step further. Students were put in various situations where they were exposed to goods, material goods, simply exposed to them. In media, on the internet, through ads, through print media, through television, they were exposed to them, just exposed, weren't given them, weren't given these gadgets or television sets to experiment with for 6 months and then came back later, just exposed. When they returned to take a questionnaire, it showed that the students exposed to the cars, electronics, and jewelry rated higher in depression, anxiety, and were less social. I know you know that result was coming. Exposure to material goods generated the same attitudes and displeasures as those who simply had them. We're at commandment number 10. We're as far removed from "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." We are as far removed from that command as you can be. And yet, here we are, it seems like we're saying once again in another way, in a more practical manner, "You shall have no other gods before me, including that which your neighbor possesses," which we so often make gods out of. Here we are being instructed not to idolize that which we don't have, not to make a god out of someone or something or some principle. I'm glad we've been reading these Ten Commandments as a whole. You can probably say them from memory by now. You may have gotten tired of hearing 17 verses when we were just focusing in on a small portion of it, but I hope that after these 10 weeks you've seen these 10 commandments cannot be understood apart from one another. We cannot talk about not coveting that which your neighbor has without also talking about who God is and about not crafting idols or not making wrongful use of God's name or practicing Sabbath. And so on and so on. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Remember the Old Testament context. These commandments were spoken in the context of the covenant community. Yes, they are applicable laws across all cultures, all contexts. But the Ten Commandments were given to Israel, to God's covenant people. It was not unusual for someone's property to become vulnerable when the family traveled to Jerusalem for three major festivals every year. So yes, we may sometimes devolve into assuming that the Ten Commandments are meant for those who just don't know the Lord yet. The Lord is speaking directly to those who have found themselves in covenant with God, ultimately saying, when your neighbor heads out of town and you see their stuff sitting there nice and pretty, don't even think about it. Because they did think about it. This desire for stuff and material does not simply end with this 10th commandment. In fact, it is present throughout the scripture narrative. It is present, it is there, it is constantly striking us and haunting us every time we open these scriptures, it seems, about not wanting more and instead seeking to give more or to be generous. Even Jesus said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kind of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." Jesus continued to emphasize this notion that perhaps the greatest threat to our relationship with God and seeking the kingdom of God is our desire to consume. We sit here in 21st century North America where we are not simply tempted to consume, we are told to consume. We must curb the consumption if we wish to dial back this temptation to covet what our neighbor has. The pastor Will Willimon was watching the movie Jaws with fellow clergy. I wish I could be in on that clergy group. Our ministerial association has not watched Jaws. As they were watching the movie of Jaws, this vast eating machine, this may be the part where some of you may want to plug your ears, when they killed Jaws and took Jaws back to the lab to dissect, they found in his belly fish, an old tire, bones, a piece of a boat, and a clock. One of the priests in the group said, "Hey, that's my congregation." You see, most of us are inclined to be like Jaws, aren't we? When it comes to how we consume, we're ready to chomp away. We're ready to chomp away at that which is out there for the grabbing. You may have no interest in taking your neighbor's possessions, but you are interested in what you see come across the television. You are interested in what you see as you drive through downtown Black Mountain or downtown Asheville. You are interested in what you see your neighbor wearing or driving. And though you may not take it from them, you do say, "Well, I'm going to go get one of those of my own." We consume, we consume, we consume. And I wish we could keep this to an individual mandate. Is the church free of consumerism? Is God's church free of offering things to consume? to God's people, but also to the world around us. As the culture shifts, as the religious landscape changes in our country, churches are becoming more and more desperate and offering to be a dispenser of religious goods of every variety. Instead of focusing on worship and discipling and being a missional presence, we've determined that we simply need to offer all that the world offers to those who enter our doors or those who live in our communities. And so in many ways, we are entering, along with the rest of the world, this desire to offer that which can be consumed. And so the church, over time, becomes less and less a place of service and sacrifice, and more of a place of what can I get? I've heard several church members over the years say, "I'm not being fed." I'm thinking about going somewhere else, and this may be in my church or some other church. I'm thinking about going somewhere else or maybe leaving the church because I'm not being fed. Those are those moments where a pastor must zip his lips or zip her lips. Because I am incredibly tempted to say, well, I'll just stop there. Jim Somerville said, "When you make up your mind that you will do whatever it takes to get people to come to the church, then you will get just the kind of church you deserve. A congregation of fickle religious consumers who leave you as soon as the church next door opens an espresso bar." Maybe Richard Foster had it right when he encouraged us in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, or The Celebration of Discipline, rather, to practice simplicity. We've talked about this before in our Ten Commandments series. We don't think of being simple as something God calls us to do. We sometimes think, yeah, simplicity is a nice way to live if you're into that kind of thing. It's really more of what we're being called to do in the kingdom of God, to practice simplicity and to resist that which consumes us. Be simple in our clothing. Be simple in what we choose to drive. Be simple in where we choose to live. Be simple in our activities. Be simple in what we choose to put on our calendar. And it goes on and it goes on. We're told by Jesus to sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when we see this message of consumerism coming at us head on, when we view those things we consume, rather they be in a newspaper ad or on the internet, or yes, dispensed by a church, that is where our heart goes, rather than to the God of commandment one. "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." This final command is one more time saying, "Do not have other gods before me." Don't even be tempted by the other gods that you may be tempted to consume and to worship. In a time when we sense our resources are running low and it feels like we're running out of time or running out of money, we sense that our generosity must be put on hold and we need to consume more. I fear that the failure to heed this last commandment may drag us down quicker than any other that we have read up to this point. The failure to resist consumption. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and possessions. You cannot serve God and busyness. On this day, church, which master will we choose to serve? Let us pray.